The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, I have recently watched the Nick Fuentes Piers Morgan interview, and I saw that and I thought that is the sort of hard-hitting interview that I want to do. I want to take difficult, toxic figures and I want to bring them down to size myself. And so in the vein of that, what follows is an interview that I recently recorded with Father Christmas, where I really take him to town on some of his more problematic behaviour. I hope you enjoy. So, Santa Claus, welcome to Brokenomics.
Well, thank you. Ho, ho, ho. And thank you very much, Dan. May I say, as an almost 2,000-year-old demigod, omniscient and also basically as omnipotent as I am, may I say that it is a genuine pleasure to be in your company. There is nothing more that I like after a hard week of making or delivering toys to sit down and watch the latest episode of Brokenomics, and you really are quite splendid.
Thank you very much, Santa, and it's very kind of you to say that, but I have to tell you, I'm going to be pulling no punches in this interview. I don't want this to be an ambush, but I do want to get under the skin of some of your more problematic behaviour. And look, the thing that's been worrying me, Santa, I think the core issue why so many people take issue with you is because, you know, if you're told you must believe something or lose belonging, you know, that's probably not knowledge. That's not decent and moral. That's obedience. And I put it to you that believing in Santa is probably your first real training in socially required belief. You know, you don't believe it because you're true when you're a child. You believe it because the adults demand that you do. And basically, any sort of belief that is enforced by threat of exclusion, that's not truth. That's about conformity. So what you're saying is, Dan, that in a free society, truth doesn't need enforcement. Only dogma does. You know, if belief comes wrapped in, let's say, a bit of career blackmail or social punishment, it's basically Santa for grown-ups. Well, yes. I suppose that is what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, children get presents for pretending that Santa is real. And how can we explain this?
Well, okay, ho ho ho. Adults get social acceptance for pretending that elite narratives are real. You know, the reward changes, but the mechanism doesn't. And I put it to you that maybe the real coming of age moment isn't what you learn that Santa isn't real. Is when you realise that half the things that adults repeat aren't real either. That is the real Santa test.
Well, now hang on a minute, Santa. I can't have that. You're pushing back. I think you're protesting a little bit too much. I mean, quite frankly, you're just a fake guy with a beard, aren't you? Who are you to be lecturing me on this and how our modern world works?
Oh, show some bloody respect, boy. Look, I'm 1,700 years old and I've seen some nonsense, but your century, right, takes the biscuit. Back when I started this, the big debate was about whether oranges counted as a bloody luxury. And now you're arguing if men can get pregnant. Look, in my day, if believing in me was considered childish, today you're expected to believe that knives commit crimes on their own. Why don't we go through all of your screwed up beliefs in your age and you tell me which is the more fantastical?
Oh, well, I suppose we could do that, Santa. Where do you want to start? And, I'll just riff off what you say.
Well, let's start with this then. But it... Answer me this. Why has fertility collapsed? You know, people are freer than ever and women have more choices and prosperity, you would think, would increase family formations. Yet everywhere where this social model dominates, the opposite is happening. You can't explain the contradictions in your own society. Look, if the elite's worldview maximises well-beings, why are people choosing not to reproduce within it? And if the future is bright, why does nobody want to bring children into it? And if fertility, why does fertility collapse the fastest amongst the most educated, those most immersed in their ideology? Explain that.
You've got a good point there, Santa. But still, as you say, you're a bit of a dinosaur, you're 1,700 years old, but, at least in the modern age is quite prosperous, isn't it?
Well, yes, again, it all goes back to the set of elite beliefs that you expected to believe these days. So, we're told that innovation is accelerating and we're told that tech will transform everything and that human capital is their greatest asset. But explain this to me, Sonny. Why has productivity in the West been flatlining for two contradictions? And how do you explain the contradiction that, how can a society with more graduates, more bureaucracy and more regulation, how can it produce less if the lies that you're being told by your elite figures are true? Why is it the most credentialed economies are the ones generating the least tangible value? And how does a knowledge economy produce declining competence and rising costs? The truth is, that your elites, they can't say the obvious, that growing layers of regulation, credentialism, compliance and HR overhead have throttled productive work. I navigate the world by starlight. You lot have Google Maps and you still get morally lost all the time. I know whether you've been naughty or nice, but even I don't track behaviour as aggressively as your bloody smartphones do. And my elves can make miracles, I tell you that, lad. But we can't fix your NHS data system. We can't fix your border control data system. That's beyond us, I'm afraid.
Yes. Fair point, Santa. I have to concede to you on that one. What about immigration? That's something we look at on Lotus Eaters quite a lot. Do you have anything to say on that?
Oh, do I have something to say on that? Yes, I absolutely do. Look, your elites, they claim that diversity automatically strengthens societies, and they claim that integration is natural and that cultures are interchangeable. But by every metric, crime, welfare, dependency and parallel communities say the opposite. If all cultures are equal, why do some create functioning societies and some do not? If integration is automatic, why is it weakest where migration is highest? And if groups all behave the same, why does crime, education and statistics diverge on it so thoroughly predictably? Truth is, they can't acknowledge the cultural biological differences without breaking their worldview.
Well, yes, Santa, again, good point. I can't really argue with any of that. So is this why you feel that social trust is disintegrating?
Well, absolutely. That is what's happening. Look, they believe that diversity increases empathy and that social engineering produces cohesion. And that shared narratives are
and necessary for a well-functioning cultural community. Yet societal trust destroys fastest in exactly where diversity and ideology are strongest. It produces a set of contradictions that you can't explain. So look, if multiculturalism strengthens trust, why do diverse societies become more atomized? And if identity doesn't matter, why is everybody getting predictably more tribal? You have the emergence of something like 7 to 10 openly Islamic MPs in the UK at this point. Yeah, the white British are becoming more resolutely tribal with their retreat to reform and the Lib Dems, the most identifiably English of the parties. You know, if identity doesn't matter, that wouldn't be happening, would it? And look, if your institutions are so benevolent, why is it that nobody trusts them? Their worldview, you see, it depends on pretending that humans are blank and fictionless, you know, interchangeable units. Reality, I'm afraid, says otherwise, and I'm the man here to tell you that. Well, yes. I mean, again, all good points, Santa. Is this why you think that, you know, young people are becoming sort of so depressed and anxious? I mean, is that it?
Well, that is exactly what I think. Look, they assert that modern society is the safest and kindest and most enlightened that it's ever been, and that, you know, freedom from narrow confines of identity increase happiness. And they claim that all oppression has been defeated. Young mental health issues are skyrocketing. And it sets up a series of contradictions that your system simply cannot explain. You know, if liberalism is the cure, why is it the most liberated generations are the most miserable? And if technology connects us all, why is loneliness epidemic? And if removing boundaries makes people happier, why do young people feel so directionless? I'm telling you, boyo, that the elites of your world, they've created a worldview that removes meaning, belonging, hierarchy, purpose, and ritual. And they can't admit that all of those things were essential and always were.
Gosh, Sansa, yeah, you're giving me a few points to ponder on that, but
look, you know, today we've got great infrastructure, we've got skyscrapers, we've got fast trains and everything. You didn't have any of that back in your day, did you? You know, we at least we win on that.
Well, true enough, you went through a fairly impressive phase there for a while, but I think you're safely past that at this point. Yeah, again, your fairy tale elites, they tell us that we're richer than ever. GDP numbers prove that. They tell us that state competence has never been this high and that big government is efficient. Yet bridges crumble, trains fail, the grid falters, water systems rot. So explain these contradictions to me. If the state is competent, why can't it build anything on budget, on time? And if regulation protects quality, why does every project become a decade-long farce? And if the public sector is as noble as they claim, why does it produce the worst outcomes at the highest cost with declining productivity rates? Again, look, what's happening is that their worldview confuses process with outcome and money with competency.
Yes. Yeah, you're making a series of good points there, Sans. I can't really argue with any of that. But look at
it like this then. At least education, access to information, is the highest that it's ever been. You know, back in your day, you know, people believed in all sorts of superstitious nonsense, didn't they?
Well, again, very quickly you get into a series of contradictory beliefs. You know, they will tell you that literacy is rising and that increased funds, it's always about increased funds, they improve results. And that inclusion enhances learning. It's all about inclusion and equity and, I forget the other one, diversity, something like that. Every child can be gifted, is what they claim. You know, that's why every time they get an influx of new children on the boats, you know, they say they can be architects and engineers and doctors and so on. But you can't explain these set of contradictions.
why is it that standards fall every year despite rising budgets? Why do universities churn out activists but fewer competent professionals who are able to take over the tasks from the retiring generation? And why does every reform in the educational sector lower expectations? Their worldview treats education as therapy, and it's a series of DEI rituals. It's not skill formation. Nothing productive is happening here. Well, yes, fine. I mean, I'll give you that, Santa. But you know, back in your day, you were burning you know, wood and peat from muddy bogs, and you know, at least we have clean, reliable power and energy infrastructure these days. It must have been horrific, you know, back in your day. Yeah, really? Well, let's go there, shall we? Yeah, why not? You know, they claim that renewables, they can replace everything, and that net zero is painless, they say. And green tech produces jobs, and fossil fuels are outdated. You'd explain this to me. You know, why are the grids destabilized? Why has all this capacity been built out? And why is all this energy-saving products being rammed into your house left, right and centre, getting rid of incandescent bulbs and having LEDs everywhere and everybody's got double glazing, and yet your energy bills keep growing faster than inflation? And why is industry relocating out of Europe? The blackout risk is growing. It's a series of contradictions. If every green transition makes you poorer and less industrial, clearly it is not a growth industry. And why do emissions rise after renewables expand? And why do the elite support transition while relying on private jets and diesel bloody generators? Clearly they don't believe it themselves. They can't admit that their climate models ignore physics. Well, thank you, Sandra. Again, a devastating series of points. I probably should have prepared for this interview better because I didn't realise it was going to go this badly. But, okay, look, how about this, right? These days, you know, we've got sophisticated anti-crime methods. You know, back in your day, if you didn't see it being done, people got away with it. You know, that's something that we've got. Well, let me tell you a thing or two about that. Back in my day, if you got caught thieving, you got your hand cut off. You know, you didn't need to catch them all to provide a powerful disincentive when that's being done. But your modern elites, again, they believe a set of fantasy notions. They believe that punishment doesn't work. They insist that the criminals themselves are the victims. They believe that the police, unbelievably, they think the police causes the crime, and they push for them to be defunded. They believe that communities heal themselves. Yet, explain this to me. Why does every leniency reform increase crime? And if criminals are victims, why do their victims increase when they are treated leniently and released or not even jailed in the first place? And if police presence causes crime, why do crime rates explode when the police are defunded? And if prisons don't deter, why does removing jail time increase offending consistently across the data? You know, their worldview simply rejects basic human nature. Yes, blimey. I can't deny that you're probably right about all of that as well. But, you know, I come back to the fact that we've got a much more sophisticated economy. Don't get me started on economics. Your fantastical elites, your mythical bloody elites, right, they believe that borrowing is investment. They believe the state cannot go bankrupt. They think that deficits don't matter and that growth will pay for everything in their make-believe economic models. Yet debt curves resemble exponential spirals of failure. And explain these contradictions to me then. If debt doesn't matter, why do they fear the bond market so much? If government spending creates wealth, why do countries consistently get poorer as spending rises? And if the system is stable, why is there a budget crisis? Every time we have a budget crisis, it's worse than the last one. Their worldview has confused consumption with investment.
God, yep. Okay, fine. Yeah, okay. Look, you've got me all on that. Fine. I'll throw it back to you. How did we end up in this situation? Because, look, I mean, I quite frankly, I can't believe I'm sat here taking lectures from somebody who is clearly a man in a fake beard. And yet you're giving me a hard time about the world that I live in when we're expected to believe that you live in the North Pole surrounded by bloody elves and that you ride reindeers and you deliver billions of presents every bloody Christmas day. I mean, surely, out of the two of us, is you're the one who's living in a fantasy land.
So, Dan, you're grilling me on plausibility. A man who flies a sleigh pulled by magical reindeer through the sky, and you're grilling me on plausibility. But let me run you through a few things that you're expected to believe as an adult. Let's start with economics, shall we? You're expected to believe that you can tax your way to prosperity, that you can print your way to wealth, that you can borrow forever with no consequences, that you can import millions of dependents and you can increase your GDP per capita. You're expecting me to believe that you can run an energy system on the weather. You think you can spend your way out of inflation, that you can raise minimum wages indefinitely without pricing out labour. You're destroying your industrial base and your energy base, and you're expecting productivity to rise. You'll replace working families with welfare-dependent immigrant spending, and you're calling it growth. And you think that I'm the one operating on fairy tale logic, really? Hmm? My toy production has been in surplus for the last 17 centuries, and your governments, they can't manage a budget past February. You know, the elves run a zero tax system with full employment. Try that in Britain and your bond markets would revolt and the IMF would be all over you. And even in the North Pole, we know that you can't borrow forever. You know, we tried it once, ended badly, and we learnt from our lessons, something that you never do. And I'll tell you one more thing. I deliver toys for free. And even I understand that you cannot print your way to prosperity. My workshops, full of elves, run on cookies and goodwill. And it is still more realistic than your modern monetary theory, which most of your elites and academics ascribe to.
Yes, Santa. I've got to say, you kind of got me on that one as well. But look, I'm sorry. I'm really struggling with this. You're clearly not some sort of, you know, mythical demigod being. You're just a bloke in a bloody fake beard doing this to try and get cash somehow or other. How am I expected to believe this? You can't expect me as a man to go along with this nonsense.
Oh, you want to talk about men, do you? Ugh, creature of modernity that you are. Right, let me tell you what you're expected to believe about men. You're expected to believe that masculinity is toxic, that competitiveness is a pathology, that ambition is dangerous unless it is channeled through left-wing ideology. You know, you're told that male loneliness is irrelevant and that fatherhood is optional and that men are a threat unless proven harmless, which is probably the worst state for a man to be in. You're told that male depression and aggression is a sin. Male excellence is suspicious unless it's diversity approved. and that boys don't need discipline, they need therapy and more long housing. A society can shame its men and still expect them to function as if they were respected. At least I never told boys they were a problem. Let me tell you this. I have delivered 1.2 billion presents in my day, and not one time has a boy asked me for puberty blockers. Now, you may think that my red suit and hat is a little bit unrealistic, but your belief that fathers are optional is madness. Yes, I mean, granted, the way that modern society treats men is a bit rum. I mean, I'll give you that, Santa. Well, quite so, but it's not just the illusions around men that I find troubling. The narratives around women are equally concerning to me. You know, your governing elites tell you that women are happiest in cubicles, that they can replace family with careers and there's going to be no trade-offs to it, that childlessness is empowerment, that post-40 fertility is infinite as long as you manifest it hard enough, that daycare is equivalent to a mother, that every pay gap statistic is the result of discrimination and not choices. It's not a question of men choosing to put in more hours or pursue their career ahead of other goals. No, it's just discrimination every time. We're also told that, you know, all emotional instability is afflicted by men. We're told that hookup culture is liberation, and that women benefit from rejecting marriage and motherhood. Biology is a myth unless it supports their victim narratives. Look, I've been married to the same woman for over a millennium at this point. Try pitching that on a modern dating app. Mrs. Claus, she runs the kitchen, feeds the reindeers, and manages the elves. She never once demanded that I deconstruct my patriarchalism. I can't really argue with any of that. What's the North Pole's stance on immigration, out of interest? Immigration, yes, my favourite. The list of things that you're supposed to believe on that is longer than my naughty list, you know. You're expected to believe that importing people from collapsed states automatically enriches you, that your culture doesn't matter, that crime that rises after an immigration wave isn't caused by immigration, even though it's obvious to a child that it is. You're expected to believe that diversity increases cohesion and that integration is guaranteed even when the newcomers explicitly reject your values. That demographic replacement is a conspiracy theory and people think that I'm unbelievable for God's sakes. You know, the welfare state can survive open borders. Clearly, this is absolutely fantastical nonsense. That migrants fleeing failed countries will somehow transform your country to the better. And I'm supposed to be the one that's made up. You're expected to believe that parallel societies are your fault and that remigration is immoral regardless of the behaviours displayed by the migrant horde when they are here. You know, I go down chimneys once a year and people have difficulty believing that. But your ideology asks people to believe that all of these things are somehow believable. It's nonsense. And I tell you, there is a little bit of elf migration, I will give you that. But it works because they learn the language and they fit in with the culture. Hammer, toy, productivity. And if they can't meet that standard, they go back. Yes, I must say you've got me on that one as well. I've got to say, Santa, I'm starting to regret my attempt to take you down and get you cancelled now. Oh, we're talking about cancellation, are we? Well, your modern cancellation culture is something that I find absolutely fascinating. You know, you're expected to believe in order to maintain your job, in order to remain part of polite society, You are expected to believe that men can become women by declaration. You're expected to believe that children can consent to permanent medical changes. That race doesn't exist, but racial guilt does. That Western civilization is uniquely evil for some reason. That history must be rewritten to protect modern sensibilities. Netflix knows exactly what I'm talking about on that one. You're expected to believe that speech is violence and violence is protest. That jokes are hate crime and deserve putting people in jail for. That, you know, equality of outcome is justice, regardless as to how much effort and merit they brought to those respective roles in the first place. That national identity is fake and can be awarded by a piece of paper by your administrative operation in charge of your nation. But gender identity, that's sacred. What? And you're also expected to believe that biology is optional. You know, when I started this job, children got oranges or coal. Now, adults, get moral lectures. I've watched the Rome fall and, you know, Byzantium vanish and the Ottomans rise, but nothing collapses faster than the ideological narratives of your ruling elites. I have lived through every empire, and yours is the first to believe that truth changes when somebody gets offended. And furthermore, don't let me even get started on your criminal justice system. You know, criminals are victims, and victims are privileged. That prison is cruel and criminals are misunderstood. That shoplifting doesn't matter as long as it's below $1,000. You know, that punishments don't deter. That police cause crime simply by existing. That releasing criminals causes a reduction in crime. That broken families have no impact on behaviours. That knife crime is simply something mysterious that cannot be tracked down to its root demographic causes. That gangs are just misunderstood, they can be fixed by more youth centres. Now, in my system, naughty kids get coal. In yours, they get community-funded rehabilitation bloody yoga. You keep lists, I abolish them. You think I'm harsh for giving coal? You let people run around with machetes and you say that lack of bloody taxation did it. And then, of course, there's the whole belief that your schools are fine. Standards can fall forever. And that represents progress somehow, that everybody should go to university, that grades should reflect emotions, that discipline is oppression, that excellence is equity. Teachers shouldn't correct behaviour. That boys failing is patriarchy and they need to watch a bloody Netflix documentary to sort themselves out. You know, schools produce activists in this day and age that reading books that weren't written through the lens of woke ideology is harmful in some way. And that, you know, as literacy declines, you're producing these poorer results. And yet you just lie to yourself by redefining the standards. Once upon a time, a child would be delighted to get a bloody orange. And now they're upset if the iPad storage isn't at least 256 gigs. I used to deliver toys. And now I got the other day, the British government wrote to me insisting that I had to deliver gender-affirming experiences. What the hell is that? Kids used to write letters to me asking for wooden trains. And now they're being pushed around by their teachers to write in letters asking for political rights. I can't believe this crap when it turns up.
Again, Santa. I feel like I'm getting the absolute stuffing knocked out of me in this interview. This isn't going how I intended at all. But look, it comes back to the fact that you're flying around on a bloody magical sleigh. I mean, and you're arguing that we should find you more believable than everything else. Oh, yes. You want to get onto that, do you? Well, I'm telling you, this is where your grown-up modern world fairy tales really take the biscuit.
You know, you're expected to believe that weather-dependent grids can power civilization, that banning fossil fuels and sanctioning Russia won't raise energy prices, that nuclear is dangerous, but lithium mines with African children mining them are somehow virtuous. You're told that private jets don't count towards emissions, and that net zero is cost-free. You're being told you need to eat bloody insects with a puff piece out of Huffington Poe every so often. You know, the green jobs are supposed to materialise from nowhere. In short, you're expected to believe that physics will adjust to politics. Now, you may tell me that flying reindeer are implausible, but they follow the rules of physics more closely than your green energy policy does. You know, my sleigh can travel all the way from London to Birmingham in a few minutes. Your trains can't manage that without catching fire. You know, and you might say, OK, fine, a reindeer with a red glowing nose is a bit silly, but not as silly as thinking that a bit of weather will recharge your energy grid. Let me sum this up for you, Dan. Your modern world is more of a fantasy than I am. You know, you're told that humans are blank slates, that tribalism is taught, that it is not deeply innate within you, that people can be made equal by banning certain speech, that bureaucracy is somehow going to replace community, and that those bureaucrats can fill out a bit of paper and add another Englishman from Bamalia. You're expected to believe that the state loves you, and that tradition that made all of human society function and people happy for thousands of years, you're now expected to believe that is oppression, that marriage is optional, that hookups are healthy, that children don't need stability, that consumption is meaning. Freedom is dangerous, and that you must be given guidelines and mandates to keep you safe. I tell you that elf labour is more productive than your entire civil service, and they don't even strike. Elves make millions of toys a year, and your government can't deliver a passport within 3 months. My workshop actually produces things, Dan. When was the last time your Westminster produced anything at all? Oh, by God. This is not gone the way that I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to have you here and expose you as a fairy tale. And I've just completely had my arse handed to me on my own show. This is an utter humiliation for me. Please stop the beating. Dan, my lad, believing in me is optional. But believing in the dogmas of your mythical age are mandatory. Which of us is the cult? My story asks for a bit of wonder, a bit of marvel, a bit of Christmas spirit. But yours asks for obedience. Now, you might think you're very sophisticated because you stopped believing me in an eight. But you are expected to believe your government and your ruling elite's lies until the day that you die. Between us, there's only one of us here that actually delivers on Christmas Day. And it's not your Chancellor. It's not your County Council. It's not your EU. It's not your Deep State. It's me. I'm the one who gets things done. And ho, 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 people think that I'm the unrealistic one. It makes far more sense to believe in me than it does to believe in your modern world. Yeah, okay, Santa. Thank you very much for coming on. You're welcome, laddie.
Moro Casino.
Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.